MPs are getting tougher on illegal file sharers. That's where you upload material without permission and then pass it around to anyone you know. The Digital Economy Bill was passed last night in the Commons. It's quite extensive, but part of it means you could get cut off from the internet if you persistently offend. Record companies may also launch legal action against you, provided they've got enough evidence to show what you've been doing. The bill is due to go through the House of Lords later. If they agree to it, it will be made law, but it won't come into force for another year and a half. Culture Secretary Ben Bradshaw has said that illegal file sharing hemorrhages millions of pounds from the creative industries each year. But other MPs have criticised the bill, saying it's been rushed through too quickly and hasn't been debated properly. The law will work under a three strikes rule, where your internet service provider will issue you with a series of letters threatening action. After that, you could be saying goodbye to your internet connection. So does this bill and eventually this law, if it happens, make any shred of difference to you? Nearly 4,000 people have signed up to a Twitter campaign saying they will break the law intentionally. Do you think it can work? Would it scare you off? Would it stop you file sharing illegally, uploading stuff that you shouldn't be? Or will you break the law? What do you think? 0500 909 693. Let's talk to Christian Payne. He's in our Northampton studio. He's a blogger who shares stuff both legally and illegally. Hello, Christian.
Hello.
James Blessing is with us. He's on the Council for the Internet Service Providers Association. Hi, James.
Hello.
And let's talk to another James in Leeds. James, you have used file sharing sites, I think, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah, what do you think of this? I mean, what will you do, James, if it becomes law? James in Leeds.
I don't believe that it's workable. There's probably 4, 5, 6, 7 million people involved in the country who share files all the time. The ISPs don't want to lose business. It's mainly, I would say it's mainly adults who use it. These adults will be paying their internet service provider their bill for their internet. The kids who use it, obviously their parents will be paying. So it will cost the internet service providers a lot more to shut everybody down. Rather than, there may be a few high profile cases in the papers just to see that things are working, show the public that sort of cover up all the everything else that isn't working.
Yeah. And James Blessing from the Internet Service Providers Association, is James in Leeds right then?
He is to a degree. The problem is that what the bill has done is take something that already exists in law, in the fact that in civil law the record companies could quite easily gain this information, go to court, get a court order requesting the addresses of the people doing the uploading, and then take them to court. The problem is that the record companies haven't done that. No, the only people who have done that have been a few organisations that distribute material of a adult nature, shall we say, and they've gone after a number of people and done it in a, sent them if you don't pay £700, we'll take you to court process. Mm-hmm. And the quality of their evidence has been very poor, and a number of cases which have been involved, the Citizens Advice Bureau has been involved, and none of those have actually got to court. And the record companies don't want to be seen as the big bad guys in this. So they've tried to find a way, through lobbying, through talking to the Lords and Members of Parliament, to say, well, actually, we're losing lots of money. You've got to help us. The problem is that the record companies still use an outmoded method for distributing their material. If you look at what they're saying about the costs of illegal downloading, which is the term they always use, even though it's actually not true, what you see is the total value of what they say they're losing is nearly equal to the entire revenue they're currently making from records in general, and the number of jobs they would lose across Europe is more than the number of jobs that are actually employed in the creative industries, not just the record industry, but also in film and other media.
Right.
Now, you know, most ISPs completely understand that the record the record companies, the copyright holders, want to make money from what they do. That's completely understood. But as ISPs, we've been trying to say, look, we're really interested, we want to engage, we want to make a little bit of money out of this. It's costing us money to transport this information across the network. We would like to help you monetize what you've got let's talk. And then the record companies sit down and talk. And
well, irrespective of whether you talk to them or not, the point is, if this becomes law, ISPs will have to send out letters to people like James and Christian, warning them three times, and if they still continue to do it, you will cut them off, yes?
Well, that's not actually been decided. The bill talks about technical measures. And the reason it talks about technical measures...
If the technical measure turns out to be you lot cutting James and Christian off, you will have to do it.
Yeah, no choice at all.
Right. I could hear you in the background saying this is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous because everything's just being pushed through kind of under the table. If you'd have watched the television last night with lots of very unswitched on individuals who are technically working for us being told to make this incredible decision, incredible in the ways that you just look at the copyright laws that we have right now. They are so outdated when it comes to our workings within this technical age. It's ridiculous to think that these guys doddering around down there saying A and nay can even be...
But don't they absolutely understand the principle?
No, they're being told illegal file sharing constantly. Now, let me give you an example.
Well, how would you describe it?
Well, if I've paid for something already, say, for example, a download from television, recorded to my box, and that recording is not working properly, am I going to wait the 6 months till it comes out on DVD or wait for my friends to tell me what happened in the last episode of Lost? No, I'm going to go to one of the respected, and there are a lot out there, sharing sites, because I've already paid for that content. Why can I not then watch it at my pleasure, at the time that I want to? This is the digital age. I'm not waiting 6 months for a DVD. It goes way, way beyond that as well. You can download a piece of software to test the security on your internet connection, which will also crack it to prove your internet connection is not secure. It takes 5 minutes. Do they really think they're going to stop people logging onto other people's internet connections and just carrying on downloading willy-nilly? This is going to drive the file sharers who are doing things just as much legitimately, because this is a false law in my mind, because the copyright laws are out of date, it's going to drive them underground. Look at what's happened to Sweden. Sweden, to a certain extent, with the Pirate Bay, a very famous file sharing organisation, having a massive clampdown on file sharing by making so many things illegal. What happened? There was a lull for a couple of months. And then suddenly it came back stronger than ever, but harder and harder to track. How dare they say they can cut people off from their internet connection with no proof? Guilty till proven innocent. You come to my house and look at my hard drive if you really want to, and say...
That's the best invitation I've had all day, Christian.
Actually, not mine. Let me have a tidy up first.
From the internet service provider's point of view, we wholeheartedly agree with this. From our point of view, our customers are being victimised. I know how easy it is to use the wrong network by mistake, especially in a dense area. The number of people who do not secure their wireless and then accidentally have somebody using it and going, this is really strange.
These will be the ultimate victims.
Like. Yeah. It's going to be random people who are cut off, and they're going to go, well, what happened? I didn't realise.
What happens in libraries? What happens in schools? We use the internet, and I'm a part of a very, very large number of people. When you say there is a poll on Twitter, the people that are using Twitter are the leaders in this technical field. They are the early adopters. They're the people that are striving forward with their digital companies, their digital businesses. They're the people that are putting the UK on the map when it comes to the internet and digital entrepreneurship. Now, these are not only going to be the victims. Well, some will, some won't, because they will learn ways to get around this. What about the schools? What about the communication channels in our universities, in our libraries? So are they just going to be switched off?
Well, that's what you're suggesting, that would be impossible. There are going to be so many people who will inadvertently or deliberately flouting this law in the end it will be impossible to enforce. Is there not a little bit of the devil in you that thinks, well, let them pass this thing and then let's see what happens?
I know how much work that I would put in with everybody that I know connected in the ways that we are to work around this. Maybe I just don't think we should have to do that. Maybe the copyright laws should be looked at first because they are so out of date. Maybe the people making the decisions on our behalf need to sit down a little bit longer and not just rush things through on the last day of Parliament, which is ridiculous in itself. There's some very underhanded dealings going on here. Let's think about the content creators themselves, the artists, the musicians who get anything as low as 10% of the final price of this. There's only a handful of people making a lot of money, and it's only one or two people that got together in a private little meeting by accident, it's kind of said, that came forward with this bill to protect this massive wealth that they just want to double.
Well, there are a number of artists. There are a number of artists who do back this bill because they feel that their creative hard work, which they could have spent years on, they're being taken for a ride.
For every artist that you think is backing this bill, I can show you a hundred, maybe even 1,000 that will tell you that. Rubbish. The ways that the system is making money out of the creative content that's out there is so outdated. There are internet sites that I use right now. I've paid more for money for tracks of music in this last couple of months because of the new systems that have come out than I have done in the last couple of years, thanks to a couple of sites that enable you to buy music from your friends, stream it through their servers perfectly legally for you to try it out before you buy it. That's what we need to be moving towards, not this.
And how much have you tried out and not bought because you can get it for free illegally?
I am breaking the law every time I decide to download a track that I have on CD because downloading is quicker for me to rip my CD. I'm technically breaking the law.
If you look at the record industry's own figures, they've said that in the last
Can we just put the record industry to one side for a second? James Blessing, is it not simply theft?
Is what theft? Is downloading theft? Is giving a friend a CD to listen to theft? Because under the current copyright rules, I cannot loan my CD to a friend for them to listen to, because that means breaking it. If I take my current CD collection and put it onto my hard drive, so I don't have to swap CDs, I can just flick between the music, I'm technically breaking the copyright rules. I am not allowed to do that. Yeah? They said home taping was killing music. And during the period where they said home taping was killing music, the music industry grew and grew and grew.
Okay, stay there, gents. Stay there. I'll come back to you. Dave wants to talk to us as well. But let me tell you this. Apparently, Sir Michael Caine is speaking this morning at the latest Conservative Party press conference. We'll hear from him later in the programme. Kevin says, why do people always want something for nothing? Just pay for what you lot use. Another Kevin Raven on Facebook, says this law will seem to be dead when the first few court cases are thrown out. David says, about time copyright law was rewritten. Fileshare is the convenient way of letting someone else record your album, film, game, etc. Make it illegal to fileshare. You just push it underground and people will start CD swapping data through the post instead. Neil says, we're now governed by corporations. Only the BPI and Lord Mandelson wanted this to go through. This law can be used to block anything from YouTube to Google. So don't tut as China cracks down on sites it doesn't like. Now the UK government can do exactly the same. Got a mobile video of a copper cracking a demonstrator's head. Expect the site showing it to be blocked. This isn't about copyright control. It's about government control of the internet. We're talking to James in Leeds, who uses various file sharing sites, and James Blessing from the Internet Service Providers Association, and Christian Payne, who's a blogger who shares stuff both legally and illegally and is very much against this bill. We are hoping to speak to the BPI in the next few minutes as well. Here's Dave in Southampton, who's Dave's not his real name. Hi Dave, why isn't it your real name?
I'm not entirely comfortable with using my real name.
Okay.
Out and about, I've managed to hide myself pretty well on the internet, so I'd like to remain that way vocally as well.
That's absolutely fine by me. Right, if this becomes law, you'll break it, will you?
I will. I mean, it's one of these things, like Christian says, that you will force people who already download supposedly illegally or share illegally, you'll just force them underground, and I'll be one of the first people who will start this underground network. I mean, there are many ways to get around security, and a lot of the people who are already involved in digital industries already know these ways, and these are the same people who are also downloading.
So is that a reason for them not even to try to form some sort of legislation, to frame some sort of legislation to try and stop it?
I think the legislation that's been formed and that's being rushed through on the last day of Parliament needs to come after a reform or a look at copyright laws that are standing anyway.
Mm. Stephen London joins us. Hi, Steve.
Hello.
You're a musician and you're against this bill, are you?
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous.
Go on.
For a whole number of reasons. Firstly, the premise of the problem of downloading is that it's based on utterly spurious data. This idea that we're losing 200 million a year or a billion. Someone in Parliament said we're losing the creative industry. For a start, they talk about there being a music industry, and there aren't. There's lots of music industries, some of which are in favour of this and some of which aren't. But this notion that there's 200 million a year that's being lost is utter nonsense. I mean, it's the figures that they're collecting for kind of where money is happening in the digital economy in music are incredibly flawed, because they ignore the money that independent musicians make, because most of the places where I sell music aren't reporting back to any government body or any kind of industry body for that. So as far as they're concerned, I've never sold a single track, apart from the stuff on iTunes, which is less than 1% of my sales. Most of them are direct between me and my audience, and all of my music is available for free online. I make it legally available for free. I'm quite happy for people to file share it. I've got it. It's all got Creative Commons license on it, and yet people still pay more for it per album through to me than they could get it for on iTunes.
Yeah.
So people would pay me because they're grateful for it, not because I'm sticking some great firewall in between me and them and saying, unless you give me money, you can't even hear it.
Ash in Derby says it's not the fact that this bill has gone through to this point, it's the way that this bill has gotten through. 2 hours discussion, democracy is broken. Damien in London reckons that there is evidence that shows that music downloaders spend twice as much on legally buying music than those who do not download. Creativity exists independently of the market, which just exploits it. Break the law, says Vic. Martin says there's music out there I wouldn't dream of listening to before if it wasn't for downloads. I'm now a big fan of some of it, etc., etc. So at the moment, it's very difficult to find anybody who's for this bill, but we are hoping to speak to the BPI. James Blessing, is anybody in the Lords listening to you, or do you think it's too late? This is going to become law and that's it.
Well, I mean, to be honest, if you look, I'm getting party political at this point, but if you look what happened with the Liberal Democrats, one of the Liberal Democrat lords was involved in some of the changes to the bill that were greatly opposed by a lot of people. And at a grassroots level, a lot of the younger members of the Liberal Democrats turned around and took motions to conference and actually changed the party's direction on this, because there was this lack of understanding, because the majority of the MPs didn't quite understand the implications of what was happening and some of the terms in the bill, which don't just deal with illegal file sharing. There's a separate measure that deals with peer-to-peer file sharing, but blocking sites that facilitate the distribution of material. And that's such a wide term that you could turn around and that's where you could block Google or YouTube or Hotmail. You could block an email provider if somebody started sending their videos through email. So you've got this whole wide-ranging things where people think, oh, we'll just do this and it'll be fine and it'll change everything. What needs to happen is that the creative industries, as the previous caller just mentioned, should get out there and change their business models, should look at ways of engaging with the fans and getting money for what is great. I spend more money now than I've ever done in the past. I have a passion for music. I spend a fortune on music. I also tend to download stuff and go, is that it? Yeah, it's okay, I don't like that one. And if I find something I like, I will then either go and buy the album, and then it's on the shelf, but I've got a digital copy, and I will probably actually go and see the band live as well, and I'll probably end up buying the T-shirt.
Okay.
Because that's just for me. That's the way I engage with musicians.
Okay. James Blessing, thank you. From the Internet Service Providers Association, James in Leeds, and many thanks. Christian, thank you. Christian Payne in our Northampton studio. If you are for this bill, this particular bit of the bill, do let me know. 0500 909 693.
Online at bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
We've heard from quite a lot of people today who have criticised the Digital Economy Bill. We can now talk to someone who supports it, Jamie Fennell. He owns Rooster Records, an independent record shop in Exeter. Hi, Jamie.
Hello.
Does file sharing have a direct impact on your business, would you say?
I think you have to say yes, because sheer volume of people that are no longer actually buying physical music, they're just downloading, But it's very much a generational thing, I think. It's the youngsters in particular, teenagers and students who don't have an awful lot of money. They're the ones, I think, that are really flying the flag for sort of file sharing and stuff. And
so when you hear people saying, since I've been file sharing and, you know, not paying for stuff, I've bought more music. Do you believe that?
I don't, because, I mean, it's a good way of introducing yourself to different sounds and thinking, you know, I don't have to just buy it and be disappointed with it. I can actually now sort of listen first and then buy later. And there is some truth in that, but I've seen a big reduction in sales of sort of indie CDs and the sort of thrashy metal CDs and hip-hop and stuff. It's that sort of thing where the youth generally buy that they're no longer buying in the quantities that they used to.
Jamie, can I introduce you to Steve? Steve, you think it's likely you would continue to illegally download and share stuff even if this thing becomes law?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And what do you say to Jamie? Do you feel no guilt at all when he says it does impact on its business?
It's kind of an awkward one, but you've got to look at the bigger picture. I mean, the thing is, it's like with the record industries are protecting their own sort of inheritance.
Well, why don't you look at Jamie's picture? It's about him and his independent record shop, and he's just told us, yeah, it has a big impact on my business and a detrimental one at that.
It's market demand. Instead of doing having a shop, why doesn't it go online? Why doesn't it have a website and compete with such as iTunes and things like that?
Yeah, well, I mean, to come back to you on that, I mean, what I can add to that is that although CD sales have probably dropped off a little bit because of downloading, I'm no doubt about that, our vinyl sales have actually soared, which is a strange thing because it's, you know, it's age-old technology against new file-sharing technology. And,
do you not think that that's DJs and such as that are actually making their own music using samples from old music taken from vinyl? Because you can't make the same sound using CD, so they revert back to vinyl.
There is...
Jamie, because the news is coming. Oh, sorry, have I put you right off, Jamie? I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I was just going to say you'd have to give a quick answer because the news is coming, but then I've completely thrown you, and now we've wasted all the time that you could have spent answering that last point. But can I thank you very much, Jamie, anyway?
No problem at all.
Cheers. Jamie Fennell.
Thank you.
He owns Rooster Records.